This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
All right, Denton, what do you got?
All right, it looks like I know how Daniel Jones is going to be celebrating Thanksgiving, Kevin. He made his announcement. It wasn't quite as big as the LeBron James decision back in 2010, whenever that happened, but it was close. Daniel Jones deciding he will sign with the Minnesota Vikings. They have a new backup quarterback.
Interesting. Interesting. I mean, Sam Darnold has not, he's been healthy. He's not going to come out of the lineup. He's played well enough. I mean, look, Kevin O'Connell right now, you know, we've talked about this previously. Right now, I think Kevin O'Connell would be my coach of the year. I mean, it would have been Quinn a few weeks ago. What Kevin O'Connell's done with Sam Darnold is proof that this dude knows what he's doing with quarterbacks and with offense. Look, they've got weapons. You know, they've got Jefferson and they've got Addison and they've got Hawkinson back and they've got Aaron Jones in the backfield. Who was the backup? I don't even know who the backup was.
I don't think it was Nick Mullins. I don't think he's there anymore.
I mean, J.J. McCarthy had a second knee surgery. Somebody told us that.
It was Nick Mullins.
I forget who it was.
It's Nick Mullins and Brett Rypien.
Okay, well, one of them's gone now.
Hey, I would assume Brett Rypien. He was listed as third string.
Let me just say this. The fact that Kevin O'Connell wants Daniel Jones is a real plus for the way football people probably view Daniel Jones. I'm not saying that he sees Daniel Jones as his starter, because right now it's Sam Darnold, but they may be looking at the possibility of J.J. McCarthy not being ready for the 2025 season. And Sam Darnold is an unrestricted free agent, right? He signed a one-year $10 million deal to go to Minnesota. I'm right about that, correct?
Yeah, he's on a short deal.
So it could be about the possibility of next season if they were to lose Sam Darnold in free agency. There, you know, after this season for Sam Darnold, there's going to be an opportunity for him to go start somewhere next year. The one thing, and I like Sam Darnold. I've always thought that he could play and be a starter in the league. But what you've seen this year is he is a bit of a turnover machine. He does hold it a long time and take, you know, a lot of sacks. They've got an excellent team. I think he's got 30. He's on track for the biggest sack year of his career easily. 10 picks, 21 touchdowns, and he's come up with some clutch drives for them. Kevin O'Connell's got to be the favorite for Coach of the Year, right?
Yeah. I mean, I can pull up the
I mean, they're 9-2. They were not supposed to be this if they started J.J. McCarthy as a rookie and when he got hurt with Sam Darnold. Their defense has led them more than their offense has. I understand that. But Coach of the Year, here it is. Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah. I'm looking at an old one that still had Dan Quinn. I was like, I don't know. Not anymore.
Yeah, Quinn's down the list on the one I'm looking at. It's Campbell, O'Connell, then Peyton, and then Tomlin.
I would definitely give O'Connell the nod over Campbell. With all due respect, I mean, the Lions are great, but you expected them to be great.
That's right. I mean, Sean Payton, to me, it would be between Tomlin, Peyton, and O'Connell right now.
Right.
And I still would keep Quinn in the conversation. Quinn could still, I mean, if Washington ends with a big run here, you know, and he's still in that conversation for sure, but what Kevin O'Connell's done with Minnesota, and look, a lot of it's been Brian Flores and what he's done defensively with them, but, you know, Darnold's having a season, even with the turnovers, that has been a lot more good than bad. Interesting. Daniel Jones to Minnesota. Don't you kind of agree with me that it may be as much about next year and the opportunity for him to get acclimated into the Minnesota, into the Kevin O'Connell system in the event that next year McCarthy's not ready to go and they don't retain Darnold,
yeah,
who will have
possible
opportunities?
Yeah, certainly. I don't think that's the craziest thought in the world. I mean, he had options, which is, that might be the
what
craziest
were the,
thought.
What do you think the options were?
So the teams that were rumored were Miami, Baltimore, Dallas, and the Chargers. Now, he'd be backups just about everywhere, obviously, with the exception of Dallas. But yeah, so he had options, and he decided to go to Minnesota. I can't blame him. You're working with Kevin O'Connell, who's a great coach. You also get the possibility of throwing to Justin Jefferson, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, I think Miami, if that was a legitimate opportunity, because of Tua's injury history and the weapons they have, he would have never been, you know, on a team that had that kind of weapons, not to mention, you know, a creative guy like Mike McDaniel. I think Miami would have been his better option. Who's their backup? We looked at it the other day. It's Skylar Thompson still,
Skylar,
right?
Skylar Thompson. Yeah. Not a great option there. I am glad you mentioned Dan Quinn. The latest episode of Denton's Office, live on YouTube right now, kind of talking about how this week is a must-win. You know what I found in doing some research for that, Kevin?
What?
Do you know how Dan Quinn's first year in Atlanta went, by chance?
I do know how it went. It started quickly and ended poorly, if I recall. I think we talked about this when he got hired.
Started 6-1, finished 2-7. They finished the year 8-8. Very similar to Jim Zorn. So that's worrisome.
Yeah, that was a team right now. Correct me if I'm wrong, because we talked about this at one point going through his years in Atlanta. One of those years, didn't he lose Ryan for a few games? Or not? Am I thinking about something else?
Let me check Matt Ryan. Because he definitely, I mean, the caveat is they went to the Super Bowl the next year.
The next year they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So
I want to say there was one of those years.
No, it was not. Matt Ryan's bill of health is insane.
Yeah, he really,
I mean, this dude missed like seven games his entire career.
But he missed him during the Quinn stretch?
No, he didn't. He missed one game.
There was something about that first year that we ended up, when we talked about it, I thought was interesting, but whatever.
I mean, it might have been Julio Jones. Anyway, go watch the episode on YouTube. It's great. It was done by me, so it's great. How about Hunter Dickinson last night? You know, I watched
a
little bit of...
Did he deserve to get kicked out? I only read about it. I haven't seen the play.
Yeah, he definitely deserved to get kicked out. So he and a Duke player are fighting for the rebound on the ground, and Hunter Dickinson basically kicks the guy in the face. Not a basketball move at all. He taps him and then taps him again with his heel right in the forehead. I mean, this was deserving of being kicked out. He likes being the heel in college basketball, no pun intended, because he kicked the guy with his heel. I don't know if it's working for him at this point. I mean, they did win. Kansas did. They're the number one team in the country. By the way, your boy Dan Hurley lost again.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he went crazy on the sideline again.
Yeah, I saw. I saw the highlights of that. They lost to Colorado. Tad Boyle, who does a great job there. All right, what else?
I was watching a little bit of that Memphis-Michigan State game because it took forever, and I was trying to watch
the college
football
playoff.
That's what I was
watching because I was waiting for the college football rankings show to come on.
Yeah, I was waiting for that. So they did get announced the college football playoff rankings last night. I wouldn't say there was a ton of surprises. Definitely some things that I took note of. Most importantly, Bama and Ole Miss dropping from the rankings. Right now, Clemson occupies the 12 spot, although they are technically on the outside looking in because the Big 12 representative, Arizona State, is at 16. But, Kevin, I do want to point out, Arizona State's at 16. Tulane is at 17. There is no qualification that says the Power Four have to be represented in the college football playoff. It's only the five highest-ranked conference champs.
What are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me Boise and Tulane are going to be in the playoff?
I would not suggest that, but it is a possibility. I can't imagine whoever wins the Big 12 is going to more likely than not get a significant boost from that win.
How is Arizona State not the four and Boise is? You've watched Boise recently, too. I don't think they're that good right now.
I think they've been figured out a little bit. I mean, they don't have a great, great quarterback.
They kind of lost to Wyoming the other day. Wyoming's terrible.
People are figuring out Ashton Gentry a little bit. You know, he's when you watch Ashton Gentry, and I like him. I think he's a good player. He is much more of a home run hitter, which is great when you need the home run. But you're like, he's not getting, you know, 5-6 yards a pop every single carry. It's a lot of two or threes, and then boom, here's an 80-yarder. And then that kind of inflates the numbers a little bit. So teams are realizing if you stack eight in the box and you work on, you know, gang tackling, so just hold them up until everybody else gets there.
He's a patient runner. He is that.
He is a patient runner, but yeah. Sometimes there's not a lot of patience to have. I mean, that's really why he has fallen slightly out of the Heisman Trophy conversation, because he's not going to break Barry's record. And as good as he's having a season, like, a running back is not winning the Heisman if he's not breaking the record. But they're figuring out he is the offense at Boise State.
What's the line against Oregon State this weekend?
Let me pull that up.
They just beat Washington State.
They did beat Washington State. I mean, Oregon State's going to be a tough matchup. You know, we don't talk a lot about them for reasons that I guess are kind of obvious because nobody cares. Oh, Lord, you want to take a guess on that line? You're going to get it wrong, but I'll let you guess anyway.
Well, that indicates to me, I was going to say it's much shorter than anybody thinks, and that Oregon State will be the right side. But you're about to tell me what, Boise's a big favorite?
18.5.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a massive number.
Massive. I would have never gotten that one.
I mean, they are just about the same as a favorite over Oregon State as Georgia is over Georgia Tech, which, by the way, I love that game. Both those games on Friday, too.
Okay, so you think if Arizona State goes on to win the Big 12,
they're going to jump Boise.
They should kill Arizona this week, right?
They should, but I'm done with the such and such should win in the Big 12.
Yeah,
because we got burned by that. You didn't because you were on Kansas, but someone who wanted to see Colorado, I got burned. They're big favorites though on the road against Arizona.
Arizona's not a good football team.
They're not great wide receiver though.
Explain to everybody, just because I think a lot of our listeners maybe just start to pay attention this time of year. The Big 12, the totally revamped Big 12, which had the Arizona teams join the Big 12 this year,
yep.
Had Colorado join the Big 12 this year.
Utah.
You know, last year it was, you know, Houston and Cincinnati and whatever else.
BYU.
The whole league's been revamped. Who was picked to finish last in the league this year?
Arizona State.
And where are they right now?
They are 9-2. They are 16th in the country right now.
Unbelievable. How many in the NFL it happens. It does not happen in college football.
Very rarely.
The two teams were horrible.
You know who the three favorites were in the Big 12 conference at the beginning of the year, just looking
K-State,
on the numbers?
K-State.
All right, I'll expand that to four because K-State was in that conversation. But the other three were Arizona, Utah, Oklahoma State. If you pull up the standings, those three are at the bottom.
Utah had the injury. Bug obviously hit them. But Arizona, massive disappointment. You're right.
I mean, Oklahoma State has lost 8 in a row.
And a lot of those games have been competitive. A lot of them have. I mean, they should have beaten BYU. They covered. They had a chance against Texas Tech the other day in a shootout game. By the way, that's exactly the kind of game that Cliff Kingsbury's fading offenses when he was a head coach at Texas Tech. Those are the kinds of games that they lost, like 56-48. It wasn't his offense, people. God, that gets annoying now. People still. I had something here earlier from Jay. Thanks for the Bill Barnwell interview. You and Denton have been talking about this for months, but Barnwell made it crystal clear. The Cliff has been fake news. Yeah, I mean, it's not the actual record part of it has not been fake news. It's true. When he's been a head coach, the teams have started fast, faded fast. What isn't true is that the reasons were that his offenses fell off a cliff in the second half of the season. That's not true. Injuries, opponents, their defense in particular at Texas Tech, you know, they were losing 56-52 games. But that is an incredible story that Arizona State picked last. And now if they win, they're in the Big 12 title game, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
And then they are one win away. And my point to you is, if they win, if they beat, let's just say, Arizona and what, Iowa State or BYU, one of those two,
more likely than not. Yeah, maybe Colorado sneaks in there.
They should be the 4 seed, not Boise State.
I think if they win, when they win, if they win, whoever wins the Big 12, assuming that it's not a 4-loss team, is going to jump Boise State.
But you agree, which it should be. Well, it would have to be a conference champion, so it would be.
It'd have to be, the Big 12 champ, whoever it is. Even if they, I guess, 3 loss is better than a 4 loss because you're not going to 4-loss conference champ out of them. But they should jump Boise State. Yeah.
Here's a prediction for you. You ready?
I'm ready.
And only you will understand this. Arizona State does end up jumping Boise State. Ohio State ends up being a conference champion because they're going to beat Oregon. And you get a rematch of Oregon-Boise State in a 5-12 game. Because that's the one loss that Boise has, a 3-point loss to Oregon.
Yeah, I don't think that would go as well for Boise State the second time
around. I don't either. But then again, Oregon would be coming off a loss. What else from the rankings last night?
So it's very viable that two ACC teams are going to get in, which is not something I would have said last week. But because of the SEC teams losing, and with Alabama and Ole Miss not only just behind Clemson, but the biggest game this weekend, Kevin, is Clemson-South Carolina. This is the most juice that rivalry has had in decades. Clemson's 12, South Carolina's 15. So if Clemson beats South Carolina, that's going to be the best win on their schedule, and the best win on their schedule came at the very end of the season. I think that's going to be valued by the committee. And they're gonna secure their spot, I think, as an at-large team if they beat South Carolina, and then you get the winner of the ACC championship in there. And then there could be an argument that if SMU beats Miami, because Miami's currently occupying the 6th spot right now, that you might be able to squeeze them in there so long as another SEC team loses either this weekend or loses bad in the conference championship game. So,
if SMU wins the conference title, they're in.
They're in, but I would say Miami might still be able to get in as a 2-loss team.
Miami could squeeze in with a loss
in the conference championship.
If Clemson beats South Carolina.
Yes, the Miami loss has to come in the conference championship. If they lose to Syracuse, it's a totally different ballgame. But the past few weeks, the committee has been telling us we are going to value those that participate in a conference championship more than those that do not.
Yeah. How does Alabama get in?
They need chaos. They need Tennessee and Georgia, or at least one of the two, to lose this weekend. And then they can potentially get a spot in there because they have that win over Georgia.
They could use Notre Dame losing to SC too, right?
Yeah, Notre Dame or Indiana. I mean, if Indiana loses, they're done. You're not getting in with the weak schedule as a 2-loss team. Their calling card right now is that they're a 1-loss team in a power four, but really in one of the 2 power 2s with the Big Ten. So if Indiana loses, now they're playing Purdue, they're not going to lose. If they do lose, they just drop them out of the rankings. Purdue sucks. They're an awful football team. But they need chaos with somebody. Even Penn State. I mean, Penn State's schedule has not been that good this year. So if they lose, maybe that opens the door for Alabama.
If Texas loses to Texas A&M, is Texas still in or not?
No.
They
don't have a quality win.
No, and the one quality opponent, they got absolutely ransacked at home.
At home, too.
By Georgia.
Yeah, and it wasn't really all that close outside of that weird debacle. It was close for 3 minutes. After the throwing of the trash thing, and they scored, and then Carson Beck went right back down the field and scored.
You know, their most impressive win is honestly the road win at Vanderbilt. because when they beat Florida, Florida didn't have their starting. You know, they didn't have anybody playing in that game.
And Vanderbilt was good when they beat them.
Exactly. This is going to be so good.
Yeah, this weekend's going to be awesome.
It's going to be so good. Just the idea, though, that Bama, you know, could be out, you know. Yeah, I think if I didn't tell you this already, I know I told you this off the air. I don't know if I've told it to you on the air. Right now, I think Notre Dame's really good, and I think they could win the national championship.
14-1. I put something on Miami yesterday at 25-1 just because I love their offense. I think their coach is a little bit of a dope at times, but they and Ohio State are the two offenses that I fear the most right now just because they're so talented and they have that ability to flip the switch and score 21
in a quarter.
I think
SMU's offense is legit.
I think their offense is legit. I don't know that I put them in the same category as Miami and Ohio State, though,
because they're uber talented. I think we're going to see an SMU-Miami. I'm assuming Miami will beat Syracuse. I thought that actually was going to set up as a trap game, but I think Miami's like a 10. They're a double-digit favorite. I was expecting to see like 6, and I would have been all over Syracuse. But that should be, by the way, a hell of an ACC title game.
It should. It'll be
nothing
a
says
headbanger.
ACC title game like SMU Miami. All right, Ben Standing next.